Let's pray. Dear God, speak to us, Lord. Help us to hear. Give us that receptive ear to listen to your voice, not merely a human words. Let it be your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a man who was walking in a jungle on his own. He was just walking for a bit, and it was a long journey. He had to cross through this jungle, and then the sun started to set down, which means it started to get darker. But he is a braver man, but yet this, when it's getting darker, every sounds like something else. It's like, because in a jungle, maybe it could be any wild animals. So he was just started to walk a little bit faster because it started to bit creep him out. But anyway, he started to walk a little faster. Then he heard the noise, the rustling noise. Felt like it's a bird. He said to himself, "No, nothing in it. It's all right. I'll get there." So he walked a little faster. And then he heard a bit louder rustling noise. And he thought, "That doesn't look like a bird. It's like something animal-like. Seems like it's an animal following him feeling." So anyway, he started to walk even faster. And then he thought, that noise gets louder and louder. It's almost certain that something chasing him behind. And he tried to look back. Nothing in it, but he can see something moving. So he just walked faster and faster. And the faster he walks, the louder the noise behind him. Suddenly, he looked back. He can see there is a lion was walking towards him. So he just thought, "Okay, I don't know what to do. I need to run." And he started running, and the lion started to chase him. So he runs faster and faster. The faster he runs, the lion runs. And then he realized halfway through, "Oh Lord, I can't run out. I mean, he's going to catch me any moment. I'm going to die any moment." So he just thought, "Lord, please help me." And he prayed like this, "Lord, make this lion a Christian." Yeah, that's the way he prayed. "Make this lion a Christian." So he ran and ran. And then he looked back. For his astonishment, the lion stopped running. And he was so pleased to see that the lion stopped running. So he just thought, "Wow, God must have heard my prayer." So he just looked back, even more surprised. The lion not only stopped running, but the lion sat down. In fact, it's in a position as if it's the lion praying. It's like, he was so like, "What's going on? What's going on? I want to know what's happening." So he couldn't keep quiet. He couldn't run away. He just came towards the lion and just wanted to know exactly what's going on. In fact, it seems like the lion's speaking something. So he went closer to hear what this lion praying kind of things. And this is what he heard. He heard the prayer like this, the lion praying, "Lord, thank you for the food that I'm about to have." Sometimes, the way we worship, the way we pray, reveals what kind of God do you believe in. You see, some people think the most important question that you can ask in your life is, "Do you believe in God?" It's a big question. But I think the more important question is, "What kind of God do you believe in?" And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. What kind of God do you believe in? Do you know there's something worse than being an atheist? It is believing in God, but having a wrong concept of God. Believing in God, but having a wrong concept of God. And that's important. As a Christian, we know we got lots of denomination going around there, lots of even other religions. They all believing in what some kind of God. But what kind of God do you believe in? You know, we talked about children talk. That's a Jesus. What kind of Jesus did you believe in? What kind of God do you believe in? Because sometimes people believe that God is like up there and we are here and he's waiting for you to make a mistake and then he just smite you there. It just destroy you. It's an angry God waiting for you to make a mistake so that he can punish you. You know, some people still believe in within Christians. We do believe that kind of things. He's waiting for you to make a mistake so that he can just destroy you. Or angry ogre that is sitting there. Or sometimes he thinks, some people believe in a God is like, he doesn't care what you do anyway. He just lets you get on with your life exactly the same way that you are getting on. He doesn't care. In the end, everybody go to heaven anyway. You know, those kind of God also is a problematic. And that's why this Jesus giving them a story, telling them the little story about, because people were asking questions like, right, okay, I get it that you claiming to be a son of God. I can see that. Because the way you perform miracles and other kind of things. But what I don't get it is sitting with the sinners, that what we call, and eating with them. That's a taboo, that we don't do those things. You're not only sitting with them, you don't even enter into their house. Because they are sinners. They're meant to be in jail. They're meant to be, we try to stay away from them. We don't even walk in their streets. But you're not only just sitting with them, but you're eating with them. That's so bit intimate. And we don't like that. Because it puts us in a wrong position. Because we would never do that. Because as a Christian, the first thing that we tell you, don't associate with them. But that's what you are doing. So they were not very happy about it. Jesus turned back, you know, as often he comes back with a story. Instead of giving them a straight answer, he gives them a story. He says, okay, lost and found story. Before these prodigal sons, I'm sure you heard this millions of times in your Sunday school. Wherever you go, there's prodigal story. But before the story starts, he's also given the story of lost and found. It says like the woman who lost the coin. Do you remember? That coin, she lost it and it swept and swept and swept until it found that lost coin. And finally, she was celebrating. I found it. And again, there's another story. Straight after that is a story about lost sheep. You know, the shepherd had 100 and the one sheep was missing and he left those 99, went after this one. Right? And found it. See, the similarity with these stories is when they got lost, it's not their fault. Yeah, they are lost. It's the nature of it. The sheep got lost because there's a nature of it. It's not their fault. They got lost. But the third story is something that we had to do about it. The first two stories, Jesus went after, or God went after and found it. The third story is about the prodigal sons. In this story, they end the father waiting for the person who got lost to come back. There's a difference, isn't it? There is a difference in that story. And that's what is interesting. Because sometimes we hang around this one aspect of God, but we forgot about the other side of the God. Where he waiting, open arms, to make that decision to come back to him. It tells a story. If you have a Bible with you, turn around, Luke 15. And in that story, it's very interesting the way he brings out. The first story is this prodigal son, the younger boy. You can separate into three different sections. He was sick of home. And then he went away, and then he was homesick. and then he's coming home. Yeah? So you can almost see that it says that three differences. So he was sick of home, being under this one control of this father and that kind of things. And then he went away. He thought he knows better. And then he was homesick. And then he's found home. There is a difference. But the one thing though, coming home. Home is the one of the consistent things that it can happen. In that home, he thought he can find his purpose in life, in joy in life, by going faraway country. That's what he says in the passage, in the verse, in chapter 15. He talks about he went faraway country. He told his dad, "Dad, give me what is mine, what is rightfully mine when you're dead. But I don't care whether you are alive or dead, but just let's pretend that you are dead. Just give me what is rightfully mine." And then he got it, and Father let him have it. That's again the aspect of God there. He let him have it. And then he went faraway country. So faraway country is very interesting for me because it doesn't tell the name where he went. That would have been interesting because in a map you looked at it, so like, don't go there. That's where you get lost. But it didn't tell the name where it went. But it just says faraway country. Because in a sense it's trying to tell us you can get lost anywhere. You can get lost in the church. You can get lost in the crowd. You can get lost in the crowd in a faraway country. Faraway countries, no more than looking for love, looking for acceptance, looking for purpose in a wrong place. That's what the faraway country. He's looking for something that he's not getting it, looking for joy and satisfaction in a wrong place. See, you can all relate to that time. Because you may say, I'm not a prodigal son. I didn't murder anyone. I didn't ask my dad my possessions while he's still alive. I'm not a person that was a drug addict. I'm not a person something what you see as a prodigal. But we can relate to this kind of level of getting lost in a faraway country. Looking for something. So that's why people get into the drugs and the alcohol and the sexual other kind of things. All gets into it in order to find acceptance, love, and joy in a wrong place. That's why he went. In a wrong place. Looking for home. He got lost. But again, you may think, what about in a change in the story is, what happened to this elder brother? You know, elder brother, in the throughout the history, he gone into as a villain in the story, right? He's a villain in the story because he wasn't joining with the joy of a son coming back. This son who lost, prodigal son, interestingly, he came to understand he is a prodigal. Because the scripture tells us he came to his sense. When he was eating and associated with the pigs and eating there, he came to his sense and made the decision. In my father's house, there's lots of workers. And I just want to be just a servant there. I'm happy to be there. And that made a difference in that story. Because he knew he was prodigal. But in an older brother, he didn't know that he was a prodigal. You can say lots of good things about that guy because he was a faithful, right? Because he worked, he never left home. He was there and helping what father asked him to do. And the fact that he's coming back home late in the night, that shows he is a very hardworking man. Very faithful and loyal. And we are like that sometimes, you know, don't we? We are very loyal and duty. And he did exactly what he's asked him to do. Father asked him to do. But the one thing that I did find is that when he came back, And he didn't enter into the house because he saw the noise, and the servants told him, "Hey, yours, you know the son who got lost? Your brother? He's come back. Your daddy having a party." He didn't like to hear that. And the fact that he said is, "I've been here for this many years slaving away." And that's a word that I find is very interesting. He said he was slaving away. And that's, I think, sometimes we feel like that, don't we, as a steward? Sometimes I feel like we all slave away things that we need to fill our rotas and do certain things in the church. Something, if you don't do it, nobody else can do it, so you have to do those things. Sometimes we feel slaving away. Yeah? But God doesn't want you to slave away. God wants you to serve him joyfully. The fact is, because he was doing slaving away, he didn't know his father's heart. Same way the prodigal son didn't know his father's heart. There's not much difference between those two. Both of them got lost. One got lost at home, one got lost at faraway home. And both were prodigal in that sense. I feel like we can be lost in that, in our elder brother, more than we can relate to. The attitude that the younger brother had is, "Give me something, I want to go and explore myself." But the interesting thing is, when he came to his sense, he says, "Take me. I'm no longer worthy to be your servant. Take me." And this is where that interesting about this story. The attitude is, when he came back, when the younger brother came home, the home wasn't different, but he was different. That's what the changing moment. He was different, his attitude was different. Which means his attitude started off with, "Give me dad, I want to do something." You know, sometimes we pray like, "Give me the right job. Give me something, then I will come to church regularly. Give me something, breakthrough something, then I will do something else for you." But you know what? When he came back, this is exact word he said is, "Take me. Use me as you wish." And that's what I think, as a church, we all should have that attitude. Not give me, but take me. Take me as you will and use me what you call me to do. When we have that purpose, that we can definitely found by God, he will use you in a way that you never imagined when we have that attitude. Not only that he uses you, but you can also have that joy in serving him. Not that feeling of slaving away. Because that slaving away means you are doing it in your own strength. You feel like, "Lord, I can't do it. Why am I doing these particular things? It's burdening. I feel like slaving away." And that's why Nehemiah would say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength," right? Because the joy that comes serving God is a strength for you. And a joy, not only it's good for you, it's also good for the people that are around you. Then people wouldn't label you saying, "That's a miserable Christian." They would say, "Actually, oh my goodness, the person, even if I speak 5 minutes, that person, he cheers me up. He gives me hope. He gives me something that I find purpose when I associate with that guy or the girl." That's what happens. We share the joy with everyone. When we have this attitude of, "Lord, take me," instead of asking God, "Give me." Because he will give you. Because he knows what your need is. He knows you are struggling in your health. He knows you are struggling with your job. He knows you are struggling with your relationship. He knows everything what's going on. Like this prodigal son, he came with a different attitude. Then he found home. Home is found in relationship with God. Amen? Let's pray. Home is found, that relationship. Maybe you are struggling that relationship. Maybe here is a moment that you can ask that God, Lord, I feel like I'm lost. I feel like I'm purposeless. I feel like I don't know. I'm dire. I don't know where to go. Within home, I got lost. Within work, I got lost. Here is a moment. Lord, change my attitude. Let this be your prayer this morning. Change my attitude so that we can join in the party that you're inviting us. Come, Lord. Help me. I've been lost for a while. Maybe here's somebody that is going through that difficult moment. You can relate with this story. Here's the encouragement. Like that father in that story, waiting to welcome you with open arms. He will have the joy that not only you just have a joy, the whole heaven rejoices with you. When you find home, when you have that personal relationship with God, we are going to sing this song. Don't let that be distraction, but maybe let that be helping you to pray whatever the way you want to pray. Use your own words to pray. Lord, give me the attitude of saying, take me as you will. Use me for your glory. Amazing grace. How sweet. I was lost. I was blind. Now I can see because of your grace, because of your mercy. My chains are broken. Because where there is the Spirit of the Lord, there is a freedom. Freedom from everything. So let's stand and sing together. Amazing grace.